This study of looking at the effects of different phagostimulants or carbohydrates on the transfer and uptake of exoflumeron was done at UC Riverside when I was still doing my PhD program, but now I have joined MGK. So it was done at UC Riverside, so my friends at Dow don't get alarmed that at MGK we are doing something. So as soon as we talk about the phagostimulants and the uptake of the IGR, and so first thing comes into our brain is BAITs, and that's what we are talking about today. And the BAITs have shown a good advantage over in controlling and maintaining the population of social insects like termites, ants, and wasps, and also something as simple as like cockroaches. But when you are developing any BAIT system, or there are three important components. One is the insects themselves, their behavior, food preference, and the foraging. Second thing is the BAIT matrix itself, its palatability, stability, and also the quality over time. Third thing is the AI active ingredient or the toxicant which you are using. It can be non-repellent, it can be slow-acting, and it can be an IGR. Now the problem here is it is very hard to put all these three components together and formulate a very optimum system to the to control termites or any other insects. So they all are overlapping things, and to control any insects like this, you have to have all of them in a perfect balanced form. Now, coming back to the termite baits, both the physical properties and the chemical ingredients or the matrix affects the feeding behavior of termites. This has been shown, for example, in 1964 by Isenther and Koppel, that the wood sticks degraded by Gliophyllum and Trebium brown rot fungus had significantly higher feeding by the termites. Now, coming to the commercialization of any of the products, the FMC Salmon disc has been shown to be attractive to the subterranean termites, and especially the termite will follow the trail in the sand which is treated by the extract of this salmon disc. Now, something as simple as carbohydrates like xylose, ribose, sucrose, and fructose has been shown to be attractive to the termites, and we chose these xylose, ribose, or other sugars to test, because one of the things when you are increasing the phagostimulant feeding effect on these baits or bait matrices in any system, you want the substance to be available, it should be easy to use, and it should be economical, and last but not least, should be utilized by the termites. Because if the termites are feeding by themselves, but if they are excreting it out at the same rate, and if they are not able to utilize it, then there is no fun in putting that thing in. So this is one of the example of one of those chai arenas which we used long back in 2003, just to see, just to point it out that when they were given the choice between the four sugars, the ones they feed quite a bit on this one, and then they move to someone else. So the objectives of these studies were to see the effect of the IGR on the uptake, and also what is the effect of on the increased uptake on the IGR transfer, and the effects of increased uptake on termite mortality, because that's the bottom line. At the end, we want to kill those termites. So here is the first set of results. On the x-axis, you are seeing the hexafluoron alone as the one treatment, and hexafluoron in combination of the different sugars like fructose, 5% ribose and 3% xylose. And before we move any further, the first question will come to your mind that is using different concentrations for different sugars. The thing is, we have done it in 2003 and 2004, this study where we used a range of concentrations, but these were the concentrations which the termite liked most. So we are using them as a treatment by itself. Now, you can see on the y-axis is the mean amount of filter paper eaten up by the termites. 50 termites were allowed to feed for 15 days, and then these filter paper discs were weighed before the termites were put inside the system, and once the termites were taken out after the 15 days, we weighed them again. So here we can see that on ribose 5% and xylose 3%, there is significantly higher feeding compared to the control, which is hexafluoron alone. Now, before we go any further in the fun stuff of uptake and horizontal transfer, in 2005, Hagasma and Rust concluded by their study on hexafluoron that the threshold concentration required for the termites to die is about 114 nanograms plus minus 43.2 nanograms per termite. So this is the range between 75 nanograms to 150 nanograms is what you need for that effect to have on the termites. So the chitin synthesis inhibitor inhibition of the chitin synthase, basically. And two important things to keep in mind, and I can't overemphasize that, and it looks very simple, but sometimes it's easily lost, that donor termites, if it's having certain amount in its body, it's always going to transfer less amount of that from that amount to the any recipient to any recipient termite. It's true for at least 1-to-1 ratio. And second thing is this, just a hypothesis, that if the termites are having this higher titer of hexafluoride in their body at that point when they're molting, and that will inhibit the chitin synthesis, and you will see an effect on the termite body. And once, if they are able to excrete in between that period and they go below this threshold level, they might go free. So their continuous feeding or the continuous presence of that hexafluoride in their body is required. And that's just my opinion. That may be true. Here are the results for the uptake of the hexafluoride and hexafluoride in combination with different sugars. The x-axis represents the days when the termites were sampled after feeding on this treated disc for 15 days. And on each sampling period, we took out the 10 termites and analyzed them on scintillation counter. Y-axis represents the amount of hexafluoride on the body of individual termites. What you can see here is, as early as 3 days, the amount of hexafluoride on the body of the termites which were fed on the hexafluoride in combination with xylose has significantly higher amounts. At day 6, it reached to the maximum, and then it stabilized. However, it took about 9 days to reach to the maximum when they were feeding on hexafluoride alone paper. So what it tells is that they acquire this hexafluoride up to the twice as much as they would acquire in the hexafluoride alone in 6 days when they are fed with something in presence of xylose. Now, we want to see what is the effect of this enhanced uptake on the transfer of this hexafluoride in the termite nest mats or the individuals. So the donor termites were allowed to feed on on all the four treatments, hexafluoride alone and hexafluoride in combination of one of the three sugars, all the three sugars basically. And they were allowed to feed for 7 days, and these discs were dyed blue, so we know that they're fed on these sugars and they have the hexafluoride on their body. And they were mixed in the ratio of 1-to-1, 15 donor, 15 recipient termites, mixed for 7 days, and then 10 termites were sampled after the 7 days from donor and recipient. Now here we see that another set of results of this horizontal transfer. The donors are represented by blue bar, and recipients are represented by white bar. What we see here on the x-axis are all those four treatments. And right away, you can see the amount of hexafluoride on the body of the donors which are feeding on the hexafluoride in the presence of xylose has significantly higher amounts of nanograms. They have about like 325 nanograms on their body compared to 250 nanograms. Now you can see that initial gap of 2.54, around twofold has decreased over a period of time. And one of the reason is because you are looking at these termites once they were taken out of the hexafluoride or feeding on the hexafluoride for 7 days. Now, and then they are taken out and you are looking at them after the 7 days. So in the meantime, they have excreted some amounts. But the take-home message is that they were able to transfer significantly higher amounts to the recipient termites also. And another thing here is that though they have about 3 times as much hexafluoride on their body, they are not able to transfer all of that to the recipients, to probably in 1-to-1 ratio. Probably they may be able to transfer to some other individuals. We are not sure, but at least it comes about to 15-25%. Then, looking at the mortality, the termites were allowed to feed. Since we know that the xylose is the key there, 3% xylose, so we tested the 3% xylose treated hexafluoride compared to the simple hexafluoride and against the control. So x-axis represents the treatments, and we fed the termites for 5 days, took them out, put them in the fresh dishes, and given the fresh paper towel, and then we observe the mortality after 25 days. What we see here, the percent mortality is significantly higher when they eat on hexafluoride in presence of xylose compared to hexafluoride alone, and they come close to 50. There is a 50% mortality in those treatments compared to around 30% mortality in the hexafluoride alone. Now, another thing we did is extended this another experiment on the same lines, but here we continue, the feeding was continuous for 15 days and the mortality was recorded after 15 days. X-axis again represents the treatments, hexafluoron alone and in presence of xylose, and what we see is the percent mortality now has touched around 70% and is still significantly higher than in the hexafluoron alone. So, at the end, I will conclude that the phagostimulants can enhance the uptake of an IGR in these bait matrix systems, especially it's true for western subterranean termites, and the IGRs are more efficiently transferred to nest mates when there is a high tidal level on their body or inside their body, and enhanced uptake and transfer lead to higher percent mortality. We have just seen that, and the continuous feeding on the baits with IGR is very crucial. At the end, I would like to acknowledge Dr. Rust, Dr. Clark, and all the Urban Entomology Lab members at UC Riverside. Any questions?